join with me in the call to worship. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. And to the quarry from which you were dug. For he was but one when I called him. Today we come to remember. Friends, this is the water of baptism. Out of this water we rise with new life, forgiven of sin, one in Christ, members of Christ's body. Today we remember the story of this congregation, gathered 341 years ago. Today we honor our long-term members who have carried on the great traditions of our ancestors. Today we welcome new members who will carry the faith forward into the future. But we do so knowing that it is part of a greater congregation of all ages, tongues, and races, bound by God in covenant through the sign of baptism. Let us begin by remembering our baptism, acknowledging our sin, and welcoming God's grace.
Please join us in the baptism remembrance. In our baptism, we renounced the powers of evil and sought the freedom of new life in Christ. We confess that we have again grown comfortable with evil and have bound ourselves to things that diminish and demean life.
We remember.
In our baptism with the church throughout the ages, we declared our faith to the triune God, Creator, Christ, Spirit. We confess that we have followed other faiths and honored other gods.
Christ, have mercy.
In our baptism, the Spirit came upon us, naming us children of God, disciples of Christ, members of the church. We confess that we cherish other names and neglect those to whom we belong.
Remember this, anyone in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
We remember Christ have mercy.
Thank you.
Friends, forgiven, freed, let us offer to one another the peace that only Christ can give. The peace of Christ be with you. Now give it away.
Good sisters and brothers, in the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, I bid you welcome to Old South Church in Boston, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you are married, or if you are partnered, or if you are divorced, or if you are single, for we will partner with you. You are welcome here if you are a parent or the child of one, for we will be family to you. You are welcome here if you know what you believe, and you are welcome here if you have no idea what to believe, for we will share our faith with you. You are welcome here if you love people whose bodies look like yours, or if you love people whose bodies look different, for here we are all the body of Christ. You are welcome here if your grandparents and your parents and you have always been in these pews, or if you just walked in the door for the very first time. You are welcome here if your people are from this place or if they are from far away, for our God is both here and everywhere. You are welcome if you are a saint, and you are welcome if you are a sinner, for God knows we are all of us a little of both. You are welcome here, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, for this is the house of God, and God told us to welcome you. I have a few announcements before we go on. First of all, I want to let you know that at the aisle end of each pew, we have what we call our friendship pads. This is the way that we know who's with us in the pews today, so we hope that you who are on the ends will pick up that pad now and open it up and write something in it and then pass it on down the aisle. If you put enough information in that pad for us to contact you, we will, to tell you how glad we are that you are with us. If you put down at least your name, then the people that share the pew with you will be able to use it to greet you. Next, we hope you'll check out the announcement on page 9 of your bulletin, where you will see that Butterfly Fish, which is Liz and Matt Meyer Bolton's fabulous band, will be playing a Father's Day jamboree during fellowship next week. You don't want to miss it. We hope you'll come back for that. Also, look at the green insert in your bulletin. There you'll see invitations to many things, including coffee and conversation with the pastors next Sunday, where you who are new to this place have a chance to get to know the ministers of this church, as well as to ask us any question at all that you have on your mind. You'll also see an invitation to sing with the summer choir, an invitation to the Old South Ringers concert this very afternoon, and a chance to learn about prayer practices at Faith on Tap this Tuesday night. Immediately following worship, we hope you'll all join us for fellowship hour. That's straight through those doors in the back in the Gordon Chapel. There, hopefully, you'll meet a new friend. If you don't know someone, we hope you'll be brave and walk right up to them and introduce yourself. Find out how long they've been here. Find out a little bit about themselves, about them, and tell them a little bit about yourself. And in that way, we will become a stronger church, the church God wants us to be. Finally, perhaps the very most important announcement this week. Last month, we missed an important birthday, our own. Last month, Old South Church in Boston turned 341 years old. As Nancy said, we didn't have a party then, but we're having a bit of one now. The things you see before you on the chancel, the joining of new members in a little while, the baptisms we will do, the sermon, all of them are ways that we're giving thanks to God this day for those 3 centuries and more on this earth that God has granted us. The next thing we will do in that vein is this. We will honor our longest term members.
Each year at this time, we do pause to honor our longest term members, men and women, who have been part of this congregation for 25 years to 75 years. Their names are printed on page 8 in your bulletins.
Of all those who have been members of Old South for 25 years or more, many are with us this morning. If you've been a member for 25 years or more, would you rise to your feet now? 6 of these people have just graduated into the 25-year class. They are Kay Davis, Mary Hunter, Merle and Barbara Jordan, Aaron D'Elia, and Scott McInturf.
Others who are with us are Carol Blair, Larry Bowers, Peter Boyle, Janet Butler, Joan Christensen, Lois Corman, Jim and Linda Crawford, Seda Dartley, Paul Dutton, Ron Eisner, Claire Fleury, Eleanor Jensen, Etta Johnson, Jim McDonnell, Edra Mercer, who is upstairs with the children, Jan Monsma, Sarah Monsma Billings, Jim and Jan Monsma, Sarah Monsma Billings, Vicki Newman, Janet Nolan, Ted Parkins, who joined our church in 1937, 75 years ago, Judith Pedersen, Gloria Platt, Anita Reiner, Alice Seal, Mike Shimo, and John Stainton. Imagine, if you will, all the prayers they have prayed, the hymns they have sung, the meetings they have attended, and the good they have done.
We invite you all to help us bless these people for their long-term commitment to this place. We're going to do it in this way. Extend your right hand toward one of these people on their feet that are near you. As we bless them, we invite you to join in the litany of thanksgiving that's printed in your bulletin. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we give thanks on this special day for those whom we have named before you who are so dear to us and to this community.
We thank you for their long memories, for all they have seen and experienced of change, tumult, and progress.
In the name of our Savior and our brother, Jesus Christ, amen.
Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Thank you and bless you for the gift that you are to our life together at Old South Church. We thank you and bless you. Amen and amen. Yes.
Our lesson this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the third chapter, the 10th through the 17th verses. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Here ends the morning lesson.
Thank you. may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, Creator of the whirling planets, Master of the universe, as near to us as our own breathing and as far as the furthest star, come here now. Enter this space. Oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. In 2004, in October, after this congregation had voted to call me as the next senior minister, but before I had started, after Jim Crawford had retired, but he was our senior minister emeritus, Jim and I had lunch. And at that lunch in October of 2004, Jim presented to me a small blue-bound book, a book that was commissioned on the occasion of this congregation's 300th anniversary, a book entitled And Plead for the Rights of All, Old South Church in Boston, 1669 to 1969. It was written by Ola Elizabeth Winslow, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, published author and historian. In the foreword to that book, Elizabeth Winslow wrote this, and I quote, "The history of Old South Church is more than the record of one New England meeting house still in existence after three centuries. Deep under the foundations of the three structures that have housed its worshipers lie whole chapters of American history and the slow emergence of certain ideas and principles upon which this nation is built. Liberty, freedom of conscience, human brotherhood," end quote. Deep under the foundations of the three structures lie whole chapters of American history. Beneath the foundation of our first structure, the Cedar Meeting House, there is a whole chapter there written about Thomas Thatcher, the first minister of this congregation, who was a physician, a doctor, before he became a minister, who wrote the first patient information brochure during the course of an outbreak of the measles and smallpox in an under-doctored population. He reached out to a suffering population, providing them with much-needed medical information, and he signed his patient information brochure, it was a medical broadside, published throughout the Boston area, and he signed it, "A Friend, Dear Reader, to Thy Welfare, Thomas Thatcher." There's a chapter there, a whole chapter written about Samuel Willard, whose portrait George Deliannidis carried in today, our second senior minister. Samuel Willard stood in opposition to the so-called witch trials, which occurred over the months in the year 1692. He petitioned the governor over and over again to stop this madness, this hysteria, to end the proceedings of that special court, and he succeeded. And my guess is that those trials would have extended much further than that single terrible year had it not been for the courage of Samuel Willard. There's a whole chapter beneath that meeting house about Benjamin Franklin, whose father, Josiah, on the day he was born in a cold, cold Boston January, swaddled him up and carried this precious bundle across the street to the Cedar Meeting House, and Samuel Willard, baptized him. Because life was fragile back then, in 1706, and you wanted to be baptized right away. God knew whether you could make it to the next day. There's a whole chapter beneath the foundation of the Cedar Meeting House about Phyllis Wheatley, and by Phyllis Wheatley. Born in Gambia, Senegal, kidnapped at the age of 8, sold into slavery, purchased by an old South family, the Wheatley family, Phyllis was named for the boat on which she was carried, the Phyllis. This family, the Wheatley family, took her in. They taught her to read and write, encouraged her scholarly and intellectual endeavors. By age 12, Phyllis Wheatley was literate in English, in Latin, and in Greek. And she was a student of science, geography, and history, and she knew her Bible. By age 20, she had traveled to Europe. She was a published poet, by whose own fame and fortune she won her freedom. Under the foundation of our second home, the Old South Meeting House, lies chapters about the American Revolution and the leadership of Samuel Adams and other members of this congregation. Samuel Adams, whose name is carved into the leather cover, the red leather cover of the Bible, the 1730 Bible that Elias Perez carried to this table. There's whole chapters on freedom of speech and how it is to carry out, engage in civil discourse about matters of great import and passion. Chapters about how our meeting house was called a mouth house because they couldn't stop talking and arguing with each other about things of great consequence. There's chapters there on taxation with representation and how a free people might design a way of governing themselves, given, as our founders observed, the tendency of human beings to sin, to pride, greed, envy, lust, sloth, anger, gluttony. They tried to frame a way of governing a free people that was both liberal and flexible in its outlook and reach, and yet accounted for the fact of human sin. There's a whole chapter in there about Thomas Dawes, whose flagon David Clark brought forth, a great communion flagon, or carried the wine. Thomas Dawes, baptized by Samuel Willard, cousin of William Dawes, who rode with Paul Revere. Thomas Dawes, a colonel, a patriot, one of Boston's first architects. He restored our meeting house after the British had taken it over and torn out the pews and ruined it. And he was an elector, Thomas Dawes, of the three first presidents of this country. There's whole chapters beneath the meeting house about Jacob Manning, our 16th senior minister, a radical abolitionist who preached and labored for a nation free of that heinous institution of slavery. And he turned our meeting house. He loathed the idea of war, but he turned our meeting house into a recruiting station for the Union Army because he believed in the cause. And then believed in it so much, he himself became a chaplain to the Union troops. He became sick. He suffered with them out in the field. He became sick, never recovered from that, finally died. There's whole chapters beneath the meeting house about arguing over abolition and suffrage. And here in the new Old South, chapters on this congregation's leadership in public housing in the city. There's a chapter in there that talks about busing and desegregation, a chapter in there that tells of Jim Crawford, his 6-foot-8-inch frame folded into a child's school bus as he accompanied little black children on school buses into white areas to go to school. There's chapters in there about this congregation's outreach to men in the South End of Boston suffering with HIV/AIDS and surrounding them with the love and prayers of God. There's chapters in there about the New Century hymnal, the hymnal that you read from, sing from. Still today, a radical Christian document. A hymnal that uses fully inclusive language for God. A hymnal whose committee Jim Crawford chaired. There's chapters beneath the foundation of this church about LGBT rights and the freedom to marry that this congregation was a part of bringing about. There's chapters in there about health care for all that this congregation helped champion. There's a chapter in there about Desmond Tutu standing at this pulpit and preaching a fiery sermon about the plight of the Palestinians and bringing down upon himself and upon this congregation and upon me the wrath of some and the gratitude of tears of others. Deep under the foundations of the three structures lie whole chapters of American history. That's true. It's all true. But deeper still, deeper than the foundations, deeper than the thousands of timber piles that are beneath the foundations of this place, deeper still is the foundation upon which Thomas Thatcher built his ministry of healing and preaching. He built his tender ministry of healing and preaching upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, who was the great healer and preacher, who brought God's healing touch to the world. Deeper than the foundations of the three structures is the foundation upon which Samuel Willard bravely stood when he confronted the hysteria of his day in 1692. He remembered that mob. You know the story in the New Testament, that mob of people that came to stone a prostitute, and Jesus placed his body between the prostitute and men with rocks. Samuel Willard did the same. He placed his body between the so-called witches and the men of the court, the special court of Oyer and Terminer. He placed his reputation on the line, and he helped stop people from throwing stones and hanging so-called witches. Deep under the foundations of the three structures is the faith of one Phyllis Wheatley, who as a girl, she was a mere child from Senegal, a black girl in a white man's world. She had the audacity to decry slavery as antithetical to the gospel of love because with her own eyes she read the New Testament and she saw that Jesus was about love. And you know what she said about slavery? She said it was bad for white people. She said it was bad for white people's souls. It would hurt their souls, said this child who was captured and taken into slavery. And she wrote a whole chapter of American history on that foundation, on what she read in the New Testament. And her chapter is written in poetic verse. Deep under the foundation of the three structures are springs of living water, the waters of baptism filling this font, flowing all the way from the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized, the waters of baptism flowing into our own font. We approach the font freely, submitting ourselves to be marked and claimed by God for the work of love in a sometimes loveless world. I've been reading this past week about megachurches across America, this suburban religious American phenomenon of megachurches. And one of the curiosities for me about megachurches is their locations in stadiums, shopping malls. Intending, say the leaders, to provide comfort by arranging spaces to their worshippers that are familiar, sports stadiums, corporate settings, shopping malls, places that they're familiar and used to going to, and they've expunged from their sacred spaces any traces of the past. Any traces of the past. We, on the other hand, are surrounded. We've got a prophets and apostles and our ministers and Sam Adams and Sam Sewell, and we're deep, we're thick in the past here. We carry our past with us. We honor our past. We are inspired, challenged, chastened, measured by those who have gone before us, whose memories and stories we cherish and learn from. So this week, Thursday at Jazz Service, this morning at First Worship, and just in a few minutes here at Festival Worship, we add to the list of those who have gone before us the names of those who will write the next chapter in the long and extraordinary history of this people of God. Sarah, Suzanne, Elizabeth, Charlotte, Ursula, Julie, Justin, Peter, Christian, Danielle, these who will join our church this morning, this is the work you now take up. This is the book that you are entering. The writing of the next chapter is for you and those around you. We write this chapter standing firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Know this, my friends, you are not alone in this work. You are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And the God who has sustained us these past 2,000 years will continue to sustain us into the future. May God be with us. Amen.
God be with you. May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. for the gift of long-time members for a church 341 years old, for the soon-to-be-baptized, for rainy days and pride parades, for the gift of prayer, for the gift of faith even in the valley, for the song of birds, for trees and flowers and bright green grass, for shoes kicked off and toes buried deep in sand, for peace in the Middle East, for the end of violence and the end of suspicion, for everyone suffering from illness, for the aged and the dying, for the one swimming in a sea of depression, for the child who doesn't know a world without alcohol and neglect, for the people and the birds and the fish and the animals and the sea turtles and the coastlands and the communities in and around the Gulf of Mexico, for graduates as they begin a new chapter in their lives, that they may dream big dreams, for fat and happy bumblebees weighed down with pollen, for an organic churchyard garden full of heirloom vegetables, for rainbows and stars and orange salamanders, for Anne, Gwen, Rachel, Janet, George, Dorothy, Larry, Dwayne, Barbara, Fritz, Carolyn, Colleen, Ruth, Janet, and John, for hope in times of despair, for healing, for comfort, for chapters of peace and justice underneath our feet, for all the prayers that we lift up to you now in silence. Creator of everything, Redeemer of the broken, Sustainer of every living thing, take our prayers into your big heart. May they rise like incense. Breathe them in and exhale everything we need to make it just one more day, to make it through just one more week, so we can meet back here in this place with these good people in your sweet presence. God, this is our prayer, and we pray it in the one who taught us how to live, who taught us how to sing, who taught us how to heal, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
From hunger to full of good things, from lonely to surrounded by community, from slavery to freedom, from death to life, from hysteria to healing, from broken to beautiful, from lost to found. This is the work of God, and you are called to be a part of it. The morning offering will now be given and received.
Faithful, your faith in His excellent work. What It is my honor and my privilege to invite up Sarah Bigelow, Suzanne Blanchard, Charlotte Brewer, Julie Hoffman and Baby, if they're here, Peter Mosley and Danielle Thompson. These fine folks will be entering into covenant with you and with God's church around the world and in every time and in every place.
Peter Bates Mosley has come to this church for Christian baptism. Peter, the gift that you will receive is a gift that you are giving to us. It is a great gift indeed for us to witness you making this profession of faith, and we thank you for joining us in this way. Peter, do you desire to be baptized into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as your brother, Lord, and Savior? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise, according to the grace given to you, to grow in the Christian faith and to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, say, I promise with the help of God.
I promise with the help of God.
Will you pray with me? God, we remember and give thanks for the times you came to us in water and saved us. You called forth the world out of the deep. You washed the earth with the flood and bore us over the waters in the ark. You brought us with Moses from slavery to freedom through the Red Sea, and in the fullness of time, you came to the earth as all of us did through the waters of a mother's womb. Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, washed the feet of the disciples, and sent them forth to baptize by water and the Holy Spirit. Blessed by your Holy Spirit, gracious God, this water, by the power of your Spirit, save this one who confesses the name of Jesus Christ that sin may have no power over him. Create new life in this one being baptized today that he may rise in Christ. Amen. Peter Bates Mosley, we baptize you in the name of the one whom Jesus called Abba, Father. And in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit be upon you, Peter, child of God, disciple of Christ, member of Christ's church. You are marked with the sign of the cross forever. Amen. Sisters and brothers, you have a new brother among you this day. God has made a new Christian for the world. If you think that's a good thing, then welcome him loudly now.
As you know, this is a church of extravagant welcome. Will you join me in the litany of intent printed in your bulletin so we can welcome all these new people into the life of this church? Friends in Christ, we are all received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of the family of Christ. They have been led by the Spirit.
They are here, as we are here, to endeavor to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. God, help us.
Friends who are joining, we rejoice in your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you to this place and this time.
Thank you.
Do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue in your pilgrimage of faith, to be Christ's disciple, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able?
Friends, we then welcome you as partners in the common life of this church. And together we rise as we are able to share our covenant of mission with you. We pledge to give ourselves.
Please join me in extending the right hand of Christian love. In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of Old South Church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into the company of this local church.
The bidding to mission and benediction is printed in the bulletins. We remember that we may have hope. Now God says to us, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way. Go forth into the world. Remember this. And the blessing of Almighty God, Creator Christ and Spirit, be with you now and forevermore. Thank you.
Hold up, I said so. Yeah, we haven't even done that before.